Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Help I Sexted My Boss, the podcast where we help you navigate the challenges of modern life. Answering your 21st century questions. I'm really breathy.
It's because you've just eaten chocolate.
Is that what it is?
Chocolate puts a film on your voice. I mean, it was completely the wrong thing for us to do.
Oh, is that what it does?
One of our lovely listeners, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, sent us in some chocolate. There was a bar hanging around the studio. We've eaten some and now we've got a chocolatey film on our voice. Stop. Okay, we had a whole bar.
Stop fat shaming,
but
Ben.
We gave you a finger.
Shame about the chocolate. what should you do if I find my partner dressed as the Easter Bunny in bed while suggestively holding a carrot?
Don't think it's a carrot. Wow.
Cat as an Easter Bunny. And are lava lamps still cool? I think lava lamps will always be cool.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm not allowed them in my new house. And what should you do if you've accidentally sexted your boss? But we're not your usual agony aunts, are we, William Hanson, the UK's leading etiquette expert?
No, we're not, Jordan North, radio and television presenter. I'm more royalty, you're more reality. And that's from Francis.
I don't get that.
Reality TV. Well, you have done I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, okay.
So that's why Francis wrote
let's
that.
Let's post a drink.
Post a drink?
Let's have a drink.
Have a drink. No
that's
more for
the
you.
Gin.
Just, it's quiet.
Oof.
That was a big one.
That was a big one. You've had a good week. I'm sorry, but arse jokes will never get funny.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Sorry. Arse jokes will never not get funny.
Right.
So there's our signature drink.
Who are we toasting?
Who should we toast? Well, you know, I had my friend Rick here
the other week
to go and watch Cortina. It's fantastic.
Yes.
I forgot their anniversary.
The Cortinas?
No. Rick and Naomi. Oh. I was best man at the wedding.
Okay.
So I forgot their anniversary.
You forgot that? Which anniversary was it?
I always forget the kids' dates, birthdays as well.
Okay. So. Which anniversary?
Fifth.
Wood.
Oh, same as ours.
Yes.
Shit. No, that's...
Did Rick or did Naomi get Wood?
No. Apparently so.
Okay.
Right. I've just realised this.
Yes.
So... Actually, the week they got married was the week the podcast came out. I remember.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And it was the stag do, was it?
And the stag do that you came back
from. When
we
recorded the first one.
And you sounded like this.
To Rick and Naomi. Happy
Rick and Naomi.
My friends. And to all our Gene Divas.
Yes.
As always.
Anyone celebrating the fifth anniversary.
Yeah.
Delish.
As always, if you need our help with something, then we would love it if you got in touch. You can send your tales of trepidation to help@sextomyboss.com.
You're in a funny mood.
I am. Mm. Or you can tweet us or send us a message on Instagram @sextomyboss. Or you can write to William Hanson, who promises a handwritten reply on his own letter paper. The address is on the website, sextomyboss.com. Or you can write to William, who promises a handwritten reply on his own letter to paper. The address is on the website, sextedmyboss.com.
I've got a question for you.
Shoot.
Do you think my socks are problematic?
Why?
So I have a very comfortable pair of, well, navy is the base colour, but they've got the Union flag on, Union flag socks. And I always seem to be wearing them when I am going to the gym. And you know what my gym's like? It's quite a liberal gym environment.
Yeah, but you still wear.
But I've noticed people giving me funny looks when I'm in the changing room. And I've got my socks on. They can see them.
And nothing else.
Well, I'm wearing other stuff, Ben. And they're just looking at them a bit weirdly.
Okay, couple of questions here.
Yes.
A couple of points here. Mm. First of all, not wrong with that, but Nigel Farage definitely wears Union Jack.
I mean,
socks. Definitely.
Yes. Yes. That's
not wrong with that. No. Like, you should be proud of your, you know.
Well, yes, you should be proud of your country, but in Britain, sort of, we're proud, but in a very quiet way.
Yeah, it's very British, isn't it?
Yes.
Second thing, why don't you just wear sports socks to the gym?
No, I do. No, but I'm turning up in my normal clothes, and then when I'm changing.
Who sees them?
The people in the changing room.
Oh, okay.
I'm not on the treadmill in socks.
I think you're overthinking it.
I've just noticed a few times people looking at me as if to go, oh,
I'd be more worried about...
Spot the fascist.
No, I'd be more worried about the Union Jack you've got waving outside your window and the Staffordshire Bull Terrier shitting all over your front garden than your socks, to be
okay,
fair.
Okay, fine.
And before you start, I had a Staffy when I grew up. There's nothing wrong with Staffies, I know. Last time I mentioned the Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Oh, did it? Did it kick off?
Yeah. Do you remember what our Staffy was called?
Rex.
Claret.
Claret, of course. Sorry. I would have got there.
Do you remember Claret? No. No, I don't think I need for that. Anyway.
Claret.
Claret.
Nice. Yeah. What colour was Claret?
She was black. She wasn't Claret.
No.
Oh, she...
You could have dyed her.
Yeah, she was beautiful. Gorgeous.
Nice.
Dog, but she was... Very...
She gentle temperament?
No.
No. Shock.
No. Anyway.
Okay.
What socks have you got on today? So...
I've gone for a plain navy.
Do you know what I've got on? I just realised today.
Gosh. Right,
so I went to a wedding. Oh, whose wedding were I went to? And my friend Cannon...
Yes.
His partner, Jen...
Right.
...gave me a pair of her kid's socks because I had some horrible socks on for a wedding. Whose wedding were that? Anyway, she gave me these socks. So I put them on today. Still got them.
Okay.
There you go. Ben, what colour socks? Oh, Ben hasn't got socks on, has he? He hasn't worn socks since 2008. Yeah,
Hackney.
Yeah.
He's in navy as well. Are they black?
Are they black?
Well, there we go. Sock chat.
Anyway, how's your week been?
It's difficult at the moment at home because Mikey has developed a new hobby. Mikey / Anne Boleyn, see last week's episode. He has... Actually, Ben has taken up this hobby as well. He's into... I don't know what you call it. Well, photography. But not photography on a digital camera. Photography on a camera that they used to have back in the day on film camera.
Oh.
It's gone a bit hipster.
Okay.
So we're doing... And every time we're out somewhere and we're taking a photograph, it just takes forever to take a photograph because we have to get the exposure settings right. We have to do the ISO, whatever that is.
Ugh.
And it's so... You forget how easy it is taking a photograph now, particularly on your phone. Just stand there, press the button, go, move on.
And there's a reason why we don't use old-fashioned cameras.
In my opinion, yes. However, Mike is saying it is teaching him a lot about photography in general because he's sort of having to go back to basics. So that's fine. However, this is where I have a problem. The film. So the old, you know, the old-fashioned film that you'd put in cameras.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, it's expensive, but it's fine.
It's very inflammatory.
It's what?
Very inflammatory. No, that means you're starting to...
You mean very flammable?
Yes, so be careful of
right.
that.
Right, okay. Well, there's no danger of it going up in flames, because do you know where he's keeping it? Because apparently this is what you do. We keep it in the fridge.
Yeah. I was just going to say, we used to do that in the 90s. You used to put those little black thing that used to come in little black kit, you put it in the fridge.
It's ridiculous.
It keeps it...
I've got film... Next to the eggs and the milk in the fridge, in a little box.
I won't put it on your dairy shelf.
Which shelf do you put it on?
The film shelf.
With the meat?
No, put it in with your condiments.
I don't keep some condiments are in the fridge, some are in the cupboard.
Put it in the set. Where would... That's so weird. I just remembered that. We used to do that back in old days. You used to put it in the fridge because... What?
It's ridiculous.
Why did you put it in fridge?
It's taking up valuable fridge space. I don't have one of those huge American sort of fridges that go on for days. It's just one fridge. And I've got film in it. Oh, darling, I've just come back from the shops. I've got some raw chicken breast. Where shall I put this? In your camera bag, perhaps? Why did I open up the fridge and help myself to a nice Kodak crisp? It's pathetic. Store it in the camera bag.
No, because don't you have to keep it cool?
I don't care. You see, if you have a digital camera, it's a memory card. You can keep it in the camera. And this is where I draw the line.
Has he been using the bathroom
as the photography
as
studio?
A dark room?
No.
Has he not? Not yet.
There are the dark rooms.
Oh, I bet there is. I've been using the dungeon. Have you?
That's what they're doing in all those rooms in Soho. They're developing film.
Yeah.
I wondered what they were doing.
Well.
Some of them have got very big lenses.
So he's into that. What? How big are the film cases?
Well, no, we have a... So there's a container that they sit in, and it's the container that's then kept in the fridge.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there are any sort of budding photographers listening to this that use film, but it's. I think it's a little bit weird. Do you have to keep it in the fridge?
Have you been using them to take some pictures?
Some what?
You know.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Have you got... What are those... I can imagine you having a few of those stashed in your bedside table.
What?
Like Jeffrey Dahmer. Little, what they call, Polaroid pictures. And you
mean a Polaroid camera?
Yeah, do you have a Polaroid camera for when you're having sex?
No, I do not.
Ka-ching. Oh, no, ka-ch. What's a camera make?
Yeah, ka-ch, I think is better, yeah.
Yeah.
How weird that you think that that's what we do.
I've got a Polaroid of me and a cheer.
Doing what?
When I interviewed him, it's really cool.
We've been taking up the castle on the hill.
Very good.
It's the only one I could think of.
Very good. No, he's giving me his 80.
Sorry.
It was rough to hide my jokes. Okay, shit. I think I need some time off. My jokes have not been on par at the moment.
No.
No. Yeah. Anyway, what else has been going on? Tell everyone about your mum. Tell everyone about that text.
Well, no...
Please.
So obviously a few weeks ago, James and a lot of other of his BBC local radio colleagues who interviewed our former Prime Minister Liz Truss, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Just about. And James did some interviews with her back in September.
Whippity, whippity, whoop. So we've got whippity, whippity. I can't do it. I feel tight. Has he heard him yet?
Oh, yeah.
We've got Prime Minister, whippity, woo. Liz Truss, whippity, woo.
So... James did the interview and it got picked up and did very, very well. And the Broadcasting Press Guild, I think, have given James and 9 of his colleagues who also did the interviews an award. And obviously that's fantastic and very well deserved. And there was a group text that went around the family which ended from a certain parent ending with, "We'll have champagne tonight."
She actually texted that. And you said my impression...
She doesn't even like champagne.
You said my impression is nothing like her.
No, but now I think art is becoming life. Or life is imitating art.
"We will have champagne all around. My James has won a top broadcasting award for his show on BBC Radio Bristol's Darling. Champagne all around." I know, I take the mic out of him. James is a very good broadcaster.
He is. And well, clearly he's been awarded. Mm. He's been certificated. So that's good. But no, I do believe my mother goes on about my achievements to other people.
Does she?
I mean, it would be ridiculous if I phoned her up and she just sort of fluffed my ego and just sort of said, "Oh, darling, I'm so proud of you." And she probably doesn't say any of this to James. She just says it to me.
Yeah. Wendy does with me.
Does she? Yes, but that's because she wants a new kitchen out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So there's an agenda. Anyway, how's your week been?
Yeah, good. By the time this episode goes out, I'll be in Florida.
Will you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you doing in Florida, Jordan?
I'm there for the final episode of Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway. Saturday.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And are you going to Disney?
No, Orlando. Universal.
Universal.
Yeah, Universal.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've been to Florida.
But you'll do a day at Disney, though.
I don't know if I will.
Oh, you can't not go to Disney.
Well, with the facts of me being a 33-year-old man.
Oh, that I wouldn't let that stop you.
Don't know if I can go to Disney.
You can go with others. I mean, take other people with you.
It's funny. My dentist did say her husband went for the first time when he was 40, and he just, like, said even as a
40?
Yeah, as a 4-year-old, he was just, like, turned into a kid.
It's the happiest place on earth.
It probably is the happiest.
And the Orlando one is a very big sight. I've told you the story before of when I went on my own to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah,
this is pre-Mikey. So they had just expanded Fantasyland, and I wanted to go and see it because I'm a bit of a Disney freak. If anyone wants to sort of send me messages about the new changes to Fantasmic, by the way, only a few people will understand that. Let me know.
How old are you?
23.
Have you seen that episode of Come Down With Me where she goes, "I love Disney. I love Disney, really, because I'm a bit thick." So, not sex, I like Disney.
Okay,
so you were 23.
I was 23. I was a little bit overweight. In fact, I was quite a bit overweight. I was wearing an electric blue polo shirt. I had less hair than I have now. I had bright yellow shorts on. And of course, I'm a Brit abroad in the height of summer. I was sweating. So I looked spesh. And I'm walking around Fantasyland and I stumble upon Belle's Magical Adventure. Which I thought, oh, it's what they call a dark ride. Don't get excited. A dark ride is like the Peter Pan's Flight or Snow White's Scary Adventure. And you just go through the story. And I thought we're going to go through on a... You sit on a little cart and you go through the story of Beauty and the Beast. Well, no. You go through a mirror. Long, you've got to be there. It's quite, that bit's cool. And then ultimately the...
Cool.
You end up in a room. Lumiere's there on the mantel shelf. Yeah. Well, no, that comes in a minute. And then Belle comes out. And the trouble is, everyone else in the room is 5 years old with their parents. I had no child with me. I had no one else with me because the rest of my family decided to go to Epcot. Dull. So I wanted to go to Magic Kingdom.
Epcot's amazing.
You are then given a cardboard fork, plate, napkin, and you all, in a ring, go round the room singing Be Our Guest, Be Our Guest. Which, when you're holding your daughter's hand, kind of works. But when you're on your own holding a fork, it's incredibly embarrassing. And I left after that because I thought I was going to be on a register by the end of it.
Did you look like a pedo?
I felt very awkward.
Did you feel...
But that said, no one looked at me that awkwardly because I'm sure they've had it before. But Belle's Magical Adventure, do make sure you have a child with you. That's my top tip.
One that you know.
Yes, preferably. Yes, don't abduct someone just to go on it.
God. So I went when I was 21
to
Florida.
Okay.
It was my brother's wish from the amazing charity Wish Upon a Star.
Okay.
So they say to kids who are ill, like, what's your wish? And he said, I've always wanted to go to Florida, but we can't afford
That's
it.
That's a soft really side to him. I hadn't considered.
Brad.
Yeah.
This is what. So
how old was he at the time?
He would have been. So. When he would have been 11 when he first got diagnosed with cancer.
Okay, fine.
We didn't go until he was like 16 because he had to have so much treatment and ended up, he's well enough to go when he was 16. Wish Upon a Star, great chat. They really looked after us. They were fantastic. They said to Brad, oh, you can be a mascot and walk out with Wayne Rooney at Man United. He said, I don't want to walk out with Wayne Rooney. I want to walk out at Burnley. It made my dad cry. Oh. Anyway, sorry, that was a bit deep, that. And he walked out with Robbie Blake. But by the time he were... no, who was it? It's a really funny story. Again, because he was so ill, he got to be mascot. And by the time he walked out, or a few years later, one of his wishes come true. He were taller than Captain. He was quite tall, our Brad. He was taller than Captain. Who were Captain at the time? I don't think it was Robbie Blake. Anyway,
back to Florida.
So we went.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I loved Harry Potter World. That was great.
But that's not Disney. That's Universal.
That's at Universal. But my mum didn't know what was going on. She'd never seen any of Harry Potter's.
No.
My dad used to take us. But at Disney, I thought we were going to get kicked out. I think I've told you this story.
Go on.
So we were jet lagged. First thing we did, we went to Disney, and we were tired, but we were waiting for the fireworks at the end of the night. Yeah. Mum was like, "You can't go on." Got to watch the fireworks, but we're all knackered, jet lagged. So we're in this like Italian restaurant, and you know all characters around.
Yes, I'm aware.
So I thought I told you. So Goofy, Mickey, and Minnie come in.
There's no way to talk about your family.
Right, and Goofy's coming over. They've got the big white hands, haven't they? Goofy's coming over. He's like, hey, like that. And my dad's eating. I'll never forget. He's eating his meatball, and he's crammed. And he's proper crammed and tired. And Goofy comes over. He's like, hey. And my dad just went, fuck off, Goofy. And Goofy's like this, with these big hands going. Like that. My mum's going, Graham! Graham! And Goofy, because they have to stay in character. And Goofy's going, so I thought we'd never be asked. Well,
maybe if you see Goofy this trip, you'll have to apologise.
And then we went. Yeah, I will. And then we went to this Guys and Dolls type show. And I don't
at Disney.
It was in Florida. We went at night.
Oh,
it was
away from the park.
Yeah, it was on Thanksgiving. And as we were leaving, this old lady collapsed and started like fainting. And someone's like, "Is anybody a doctor? Is anybody a medic?" And my mum was pissed. She went, "My husband's Sergeant Major in Army. He's first aid trained." Graham! Like, this woman's having an attack, and I promise you, like, my dad was in the car. He was revving the car up. He's going, "Get in fucking car, Wendy. They'll sue us round here. You can't give it." This woman's, he's going, "I'm not getting sued." He's going, "I've seen it on telly." She went, "Is she need CPR, Graham?" He's going, "No, they'll sue us." So we all had to jump in car whilst this lady... I never knew what happened to that lady.
No.
He went, "No, I've seen it on telly. You give them CPR, you crack a rib, and then before you know it, they sue you. I'm not insured." So yeah, that was my memories of Florida.
Well, I hope you have different memories this time.
There you go.
You have a lovely time.
Thank you. So,
you can bring me... and actually, if you go past the CVS or anything, you can bring me back some stuff.
Oh, CVS?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not the person I do the podcast with. That's
no,
the...
JVS.
That's the boots equivalent.
Do you want the sleeping pills?
They're not sleeping pills, but those.
What ones?
Melatonin.
Which... Oh, the...
Melatonin.
Oh, yeah. I always go back. If you ever go to America... Gene Devers, go into the pharmacy and just get a big bag of ibuprofen, a big jar of ibuprofen and paracetamol, because it means you've always got them in. Top tip for you there. No, what?
Or you can go to a British drugstore and
no, because you're only allowed to buy certain amounts here, aren't you?
Well, you just make several trips.
No, you can't, because you can't do so. In America, you can get a big jar. I've got them in my bathroom cabinet. Anyway.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'll be in Florida, hopefully not offending Goofy.
Yes, fingers crossed.
So many stories about Florida with mum and dad.
Well, we have to share them another time. Can I just talk a little bit about our book?
Have we got a book coming out?
We have got a book coming out.
Have we got a book coming out?
Yes.
Gee whiz.
And actually, the key headline in the book, when we were writing it, we were like, how do we end the book? And we end it because we've actually realised on a podcast called Help, I Sexted My Boss, we have never discussed what to do if you sexed your boss.
You're telling me in the 5 years and 400,000 episodes we've recorded here, we've never actually given advice on what you should do if you've accidentally sexted your boss.
Or, indeed, not accidentally sexted your boss. No, but we will be in the book. So there we go.
And how can you pre-order the book if you want to get a signed copy and a pre-order?
I think it's sextedmyboss.com/book.
Okay. Right, before we go to your etymology.
Yes.
Can I just read this story to you today that I read in the paper? That I thought was brilliant. Thanks to Bin Man, who helped me find Dad's ashes I'd lost on the lash. It sounds like something one of our listeners had sent in.
Okay.
So this fella went on a 9-hour pub bender and left his dad's ashes in the pub. But he wasn't meant to go to the pub. So basically, I think it's brilliant, this.
Do you want me to read it?
Stan Blake. Yeah, you read it. So to read it from there.
From where? Stan Blade planned to make a TikTok video taking his late father, Stephen Jewett, on pleasure rides at Southend Pier in Essex as a final farewell.
This is brilliant.
But when the 39-year-old bumped into pals at his old stomping ground, he got caught up in a bar crawl and lost the boxed-up remains on Saturday. After searching all the pubs he visited on his big night out, musician Stan issued a public appeal to find his dad, who died aged 60 in 2011.
Yeah.
Not got round to it quickly. And he told of his stepmum Emma Hopkins' fury after she had told him not to take the ashes from the house.
Read what his stepmum said.
"I fucking had those ashes for 12 years.
He basically thought, I'll make a TikTok video of my dad's ashes. And then he bumped into his mates, went out on the piss and left his dad. It's brilliant. Anyway, a bin man helped him find. I think this could be a new Disney story.
Yesterday, Stan got the result he dreamed of with a call from the police.
It's so funny. Read it.
He told Metro, when Essex police ring you automatically, you think, uh-oh, what's this about? But the policeman told me, heard you've been looking for your dad's ashes.
So good. We should turn this into a film.
Turns out a bin man from the council had handed it in to them after finding it placed on a bin on the seafront. I'm very grateful to the man who handed them in, and it's crazy my story's gone national. Stan, who now lives in Leicester, said, my dad would think he was famous if he was still alive, and he would have loved all of this. Well, there we go. And there's a nice photo of Stan holding his father's ashes.
Where do you want your ashes to be spread?
Gloucester M4 services. Why? I don't mind north or southbound.
Why?
But just because they're beautiful. Have you ever been to Gloucester North M4 no. north or southbound services? It's amazing. How about you?
I'd like...
Turfmoor.
Where's the other place? The Lake District.
Oh, really? Which bit of the Lake District?
To Windermere or up at a mountain.
Well, I think you need to be a bit more specific.
Well, just take it to Lake District, get up top of a mountain, just whiff it off. Or
specific.
I'd like you to put a bit in your tea so I can be inside you one more time.
Never been inside me.
Right, should we go to the etiquette etymology? Isn't that story great though?
Don't move on.
I'm gonna. What? Yeah.
You're so rude.
Sorry.
Oh, hang on. Funny. It's very noisy outside.
Yeah, it is. You've got. Oh, it's the bins, isn't it? It's always
it's
a
probably
Friday.
Somebody's ashes.
Mm. Very good.
Thank you.
Go on then.
Well, after the break, I'm going to tell you. Steady yourself. Why do napkins go on the left? And I'll tell you why after these messages.
Please don't go and listen to Off Menu. No, because I imagine they'll turn over. But that's meant to keep us. Oh, just play the bloody ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, Gene Divas, thanks for sticking with us. Cue the jingle, please.
It's William, the etiquette geek. His knowledge is quite unique. He'll give you manners, a subtle tweak. It's time for William's etiquette etymology of the week.
Cha-cha-cha.
Aw, thank you. Okay. So, why do napkins go on the left? Jordan, why do you think napkins go on the left?
I don't know.
Well... let me tell you, wherever you are, whether you're at Wilton's restaurant on German Street, whether you're at a Wetherspoon's, you'll always find that the napkin is placed to the left of the table setting. Now, napkins going way back when were incredibly expensive, okay? They still are. Well, you know, but much more so now than now. In fact, they were often the first thing to be itemised in a will. They were that expensive.
Really?
Napery, yes, napery was a sign that you were very, very, you know, au courant. You were well-to-do, so to speak. The Romans used them, and you would actually bring your own to dinners.
Okay.
So bloody rude. You bring your own to dinners. And in the Middle Ages, you would actually use a communal napkin that was sewn onto the edge of the tablecloth.
Ah.
It's a bit grim, actually, now, if you think about it, from a hygiene point of view. Anyway, later on, staff would have a long napkin draped over their left shoulder. You know, in some restaurants now, the maitre d', the head waiter, will have a napkin over a shoulder. Fancy restaurants, not so much sort of
I've never seen that before.
Really? The waiter has a napkin over the...
I thought they were bald people.
Matadors?
Yeah.
No.
They have
that's
one
a red cloth, not a white linen
there.
Napkin.
Jose.
Sometimes they're called Jose, sometimes they're called Pedro.
Yeah.
But they're over the left shoulder. And basically everything was from the left because you were right-handed. Remember what I said to you?
That's what I was thinking.
During our live stream, people ate with their fingers. It was very fashionable. And so because it was easier to access from the left and the napkin was on the left... You thus had the napkin.
So was it on your left shoulder?
On your left shoulder or placed to the left. So, yes, and food came in from the left. The right was for eating, and so the left and the napkin on the left. Everything to the left. Remember, people were also right-handed as well, and you weren't allowed to be left-handed. And so if you were eating with your right hand, it was easier to put your right hand to your left shoulder or to the left to use a napkin rather than going to the right.
Okay.
So there we go.
Do you think it's ever okay to put your napkin as a bib?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I'm so glad you've asked that. Because you know the phrase, making ends meet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was because in the medieval times when they wore large ruffs, you know, sort of the rig, sort of big fluffy collars. Well,
they weren't
that fluffy, actually. If you couldn't make ends meet, it meant you couldn't afford a napkin big enough to tie around the back and make ends meet.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So I'm glad you asked me that.
It starts off boring, but it ends up really interesting.
You say that every time I do this.
That's really interesting.
Thank you. Glad you liked it.
Okay.
Right. Now, are you a loyal G&D for finding yourself wishing for a fellow sexted listener to shout, Wendy, to...
Can I borrow a potato peeler?
And hear that in response. Well, there is one way you can solve this problem, and that's by sharing our podcast with your nearest and dearest. You can spread the love by spreading us. As it were. Share this episode on WhatsApp now, and we'll just give you a few moments to do that.
We think this is a really good way to share the... Just share it in your family WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
In your friends' friendship. WhatsApp group. Yep. And just say, you guys need to listen to this.
Just let's give them a minute. Well, there we go. Thank you very much. And we'll get on to your listener dilemmas, and hopefully all those new listeners will enjoy listening to these. Dear William, Jordan and EPB, wrong way around, I have an issue that requires your expertise. I had a very good friend whilst I was at university, let's call her Joanna. We lived together for 3 years, but just before we graduated, she got a boyfriend, and since then, all of her friends have been put on the back burner. Joanna recently invited me and other once close friends to her birthday party, which we found surprising, as after some attempts at contact, she had not really spoken to us for months. She said she required a deposit from everyone coming, and I explained to her in a very polite text that I was between jobs and money was rather tight. I said that I would still love to see her and that maybe I could buy her a drink somewhere instead. Joanna replied with, okay, and that our places were not guaranteed at the party as we couldn't pay the deposit.
Is this for a birthday party?
I think so. She later told all of us that she wanted to keep the party small and uninvited all of us on the day. My question is, what is the etiquette surrounding deposits for a party or event that you have been invited to? Is it a matter for the host to deal with or the guests that have been invited? And also, is it okay to just get tired of a friendship that was once good but's now clearly failing? Tell me about it. Or should I not give up? Thanks for the advice from Anonymous.
First of all, it sounds like that, and this is a bit sad, but it sounds like that party fell through a bit and not everybody else paid the deposit.
Yes, probably because Joanna's been quite mean to her friends.
Hear me out. I think if you invite someone out for your birthday, I don't think you should ask for a deposit for it. You shouldn't be putting a deposit down. Or is it for a meal, maybe? If it was a meal...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just come round to my house for a bit of cake. That would be ridiculous to ask for a deposit.
But some people have birthdays every year and they make like a big thing of it. And they want to go out and expect to put work off. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
So if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. That's fine. But birthdays do. There's always someone that thinks the whole world revolves around them and... It's like their big special day. If it's birthday, just go out for a drink.
Mm. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I don't think you can get your friends to pay the deposit necessarily. Or if you do, you've got to be quite upfront about it. And you mention the deposit at point of invitation. So before people say yay or nay, they know that there is a financial obligation on their part. You can't go, would you like to come to my birthday? Yes. Oh, by the way, I need £10 from you, for example. You have to say, would you like to come to my birthday? I need to put down a £10. It's £10 per person. And this will get you X, Y, and Z. not just that'll get us in.
Yeah.
But if not, if you can't, if you know, there's a cost of living crisis. If you can't afford to do it, to do a birthday, you can do a birthday party that doesn't involve deposits. You can still have the attention on you.
My question is, what is the etiquette surrounding deposits for a party or event that you've been invited to? Is it a matter of the host deal with or the guest? So the host has got to deal with it.
I would say the host has to deal with it,
yeah,
yes.
And we talked about friendships, like, running the course. It does happen.
Like relationships. Friendships,
yes,
can run the course.
Not all the time, but
no, and you can still cherish the happy memories you have with Joanna in this instance and, you know, think, oh, well, that was nice when that happened, but we've moved on.
Okay.
This is from Matt. Hello, William and Jordan. At a recent family dinner, I complained that my iPad had stopped working after I dropped it in the bath and that I needed one desperately for my graphic design work. My aunt and uncle kindly offered to lend theirs as they don't use it and it was only gathering dust in the sitting room. Shortly after powering on the iPad, I realised that my uncle's iCloud account was still linked and I saw his message notifications popped up. I was in no rush to unlink the account as I was required to enter his password, so I thought I could wait until I was seeing them later in the week. I then got some concerning messages from contacts prefaced with SW Jane, asked on Saturday afternoon if she could... oh my God. Expect to see some donkey cock tonight. And SW Mike offered... thanks for horny fun at Checkers, along with a photo of a naked middle-aged man and woman with bodily fluids on their face. I now believe that my aunt and uncle are prolific swingers, thus explaining the SW prefix.
Who's SW?
Well, swingers? Swingers World? Slimming? Maybe it's Slimming World, I don't know.
We're not allowed to say swingers these days.
Well, what do we call them?
I think they're in open relationships.
Right. Despite needing therapy, I need to know what the etiquette is in this situation. I can't return the iPad without them realising that I'd seen all the messages. Should I just accidentally drop it in the bath again and apologise? Please help. From Matt.
Matt! Fair play, he's not used anonymous. So, right, he's borrowed his auntie and uncle's...
iPad.
Their messages are still going to the iPad.
Yes.
And...
he has to give the iPad back because he's borrowed it.
And... they're in a swingers club.
And now he knows.
And his uncle's got a massive cock.
I do believe it's called a donkey cock.
Donkey cock. What's a donkey cock? Like a horse's cock's big, but what's donkey? Is that like mid?
Maybe it's smaller.
A donkey cock. Wow. I mean, Matt, I'm really sorry. You've done the right thing and getting in touch with us, but I don't think... you can't tell them about it. Why save them the embarrassment, Matt? You've just got to...
I've got a pragmatic solution.
Go on. I'd just say don't.
I don't know what era or generation, I think is the word, iPad it is. But let's... I hope maybe, particularly because your aunt and uncle are probably a bit older than you, maybe it's not the latest spec. So what you could do is drain the iPad, he says hastily. You could drain the iPad... so sort of, you know, run the battery flat and say, oh, I couldn't use it because it's a different charger and they've changed the chargers. But thank you so much. Hopefully you can charge it back up. That's what I do. It's a bit extreme.
Or just log out and, oh, is he saying how is
he can't log out because he has to enter the password to log out.
Shit. Right, I get. So his dilemma is how do I just delete the messages off the iPad?
No, because that will then delete them off the iPhone.
Will it?
I think.
God, right, I'm with you now. I need to
again, I don't think you need to say anything when you hand it back.
I can't.
About the messages.
Oh, I try and delete the messages off the iPad.
I just drain the
That's
battery.
A really good... yeah, drain the battery and say...
I've not
been able to use it. That's really good advice.
I would save some face. Obviously, you're going to be in therapy for the rest of your life. I appreciate that, but...
they're swingers. Have a look as well if they've got, like, pineapple jewellery. I've seen that on Channel 4 recently.
Sorry?
So, people that... it's not called swingers anymore. It's not called open relationships. What they call... they're in...
polyogamous. Well, I would say that's just where you have. That's where surely is that we have multiple
anyway,
wives or husbands.
They wear. It's not pompous grass. They have
pompous grass.
Yeah,
pampas grass.
Oh, pampas.
Pompous grass.
It's not pampas grass anymore.
Don't tread on me.
Apparently, like if you're in the supermarket and you see someone with a pineapple in the trolley upside down, that's code.
Oh my God.
And, but I think if I buy a pineapple, I would just buy chunks, to be fair. So. But knowing my luck,
I'd you want to be diced up.
Knowing my luck, I'd just put it in upside down, but like, do I have like pineapple, like a little pineapple on their chain and stuff, or pineapple earrings, means they're.
But pineapple was a symbol of hospitality. It's very luxurious.
I bet that's why it is.
Okay.
Oh, I feel for you, Matt. But yeah, if you can delete the messages or drain it and say you never used it.
Wow. Okay.
All gazelle, doesn't it? Oh, do you know what? Fair play to him. Fair play to him.
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't think Matt is sort of.
Shame.
It's the fact that they are relatives, and we all like to think that our family and probably our friends, you know, it's all very rated PG.
Yeah.
I think that's more the issue. If they weren't his uncle and aunt, I think it would be a different reaction. This is from Anonymous. Dear William Jordan and EPB, I'm in a bit of a pickle. I'm seeing the kindest guy. He's just so amazing. He treats me exactly how every girl should be treated. I can't fault his personality at all. However, he's really not hitting the right notes in the bedroom.
I knew it. I knew that was coming. I did. I knew that was coming.
When we have sex, I can hardly feel a thing.
Oh.
I have tried different positions, and it does absolutely nothing for me. I'm really bothered by this, and it's getting to a point where I'm finding myself making excuses. I've come from a previous relationship where I wasn't treated kindly at all, so to have someone treat me like this is just what I need. So my question is, do you think I can carry on in this relationship knowing I'm not pleased sexually, or is it time to call it a day? Thank you, and keep up the amazing work you provide me with so much laugh together. Much love, Anonymous.
Anonymous, like, it's not for us to tell you when to end your relationship.
I would just communicate.
Yes, communicate. Sex is important. It is for both sides. So you definitely need to communicate and give him some guiding tips and stuff, and maybe look into ways that he could pleasure you more.
Guide his tip.
Guide his tip. Exactly. But I don't think you need to end the relationship. I think you need to try.
Yes.
And you've just got to say and be honest. And it might hurt him at first, and he might get a bit embarrassed, but you'll get there eventually. However, you're not quite feeling it, even if he is a nice guy, then maybe it's lucky. You can remember, you can't be with someone just because they're a nice guy and all your friends and family love him. You've got to like him. It sounds like you like him, but you can get over this sexual hurdle.
Talk, communicate, find a safe space, make him, and you know, men might take that personally. Some, depending on, I don't know, we know nothing about him particularly, about his personality. He might take that personally. So you've got to find a way to do it in a caring and compassionate way.
Yeah.
But if you want to save the relationship, and I suspect you do, Anonymous, that's my gut, you will have to do it. And hopefully the best is yet to come.
Tell him what tickles your fancy and what, you know, tell him how you want him to do it. And just if it's not touching sides, just buy a massive strap-on.
There's always that. Ben's got his hand up. Have you got a personal story? What? You did. You had your hand up.
What's up?
Try dressing gown belt.
That's so series two.
Finally, this is from another Anonymous. Hello, William and Jordan. This morning, my friend was waiting outside of my house in her car. We have lift shared for a couple of years now, and my very nosy neighbours are used to her parking her car about a foot away from the curb temporarily whilst I put my shoes on and join her. One of my neighbour's children gets collected most mornings by a minivan for school around the same time I leave. This morning, to my surprise, the bus driver was holding down the horn in an attempt to get my friend to move her car so they could turn around, unbeknownst to my friend, who was listening to the radio. My number one issue with this is that I know a lot of people down my road work night shifts and probably don't want to be woken up to a minivan horn before 8 a.m. However, the biggest issue I had with this was that the driver was being lazy. If the van driver had gone just 20 yards down the road, they could have turned around.
Yeah.
Now, bear in mind, I'm a third-year university student in the midst of finishing my dissertation. I do not have time for nasty people on a good week, and especially not this week. I confronted the driver and
he sounds great, tosser.
I confronted the driver and politely informed them that we would be leaving in just a moment. She did not like this. She started arguing with me, saying my friend was blocking the road. She was not. Things escalated, and in front of a van full of 8 and 10-year-olds, she called me an ignorant prick. I returned the favour, calling her a lazy bitch. I stand by my words and do not regret anything I said at all, but I do feel bad for swearing in front of the children. My question is, do I go and apologise to my neighbour? I imagine the driver will tell my neighbour about the spat. I stand by what I said on how I reacted, but I feel as though I should go and clarify my actions. This neighbour moved in just under a year ago and has never introduced herself to my family or me, but we have no reason to dislike one another. Thank you, Anonymous.
Yes, go around to your neighbour, just say, totally explain. Just knock on and
I
say...
I don't think you need to do
no,
that.
No, just say, I don't know if you heard, I just wanted to let you know. And then call the school or the company and grass in the horrible lady.
Oh, wow.
Snitches get stitches, but in this case, that's... it sounds like she needs a telling off. She can't be calling people ignorant prick when she's got kids in back. So I'd go around to the neighbour and then go and report her to the company or the school. Definitely.
No, I just wouldn't bother. It's unfortunate you swore in front of children. Don't do it again.
It's not wrong with swearing in front of kids.
I mean, I think it is.
My mum and dad used to swear in front of me all
And
time.
Look how you've turned
exactly.
out. Yes.
I'm a polite person.
Let's put it this way. My parents didn't swear in front of
you've
me.
You've never heard
And look
swear.
At me. Well, I have now. And look at me. Jordan's parents swore in front of him. And look at him.
Yeah, but...
Parents, over to you.
Yeah, but it was... When I was growing up, it was just like... It weren't effing it. Like, it, I were never allowed to swear at my mum and dad. I used
no.
to have mates. I'd have mates that used to, like, tell their mums to fucking shut up and stuff. God, I would have got battered, but, like, they used to swear in front of me.
Okay.
And nothing wrong with me.
No. I,
shit for brains, fawn for you, that kind of thing.
And I think age 4, that was inappropriate. Anyway, what's coming up in the weekend release, Jordan?
We've been sent some more artwork, William.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Lovely. We've got very talented G&Divas.
Always remember, you can listen every Tuesday and Friday. You can watch us on YouTube on Sundays, and you can share us on your socials all week. You can send your tales of trepidation to help@sextedmyboss.com.
Or you can tweet us, send us a message on Instagram or any of the socials. We're @sextedmyboss.
Or you can write to William, who promises a handwritten reply in his own letter to paper. The address is on the website, sextedmyboss.com.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.